Cleveland right now, so I'm your pastor, family. So I want you to think about the words of the song. Only through the grace of God do we have those merited favors.
Amen.
That he gives us. We don't have heartaches. We've got trials and tribulations. God's grace carries us through everything.
Amen.
Would you stand as reverence to the Lord and sing this song before me?
Thank you. Sister Shirley for the good playing this morning and the good singing from everybody. We are thankful to see each and every one of you here today. We're still down just a little bit. We've still got a lot of sickness that's going around, and I heard about a new bug that's got started just recently that I hadn't was aware of yesterday, and I hope it doesn't affect us. We don't need them kind of bugs that are going around, so it's good to see everybody out today. We appreciate you coming out for our service today. Glad to have our visitors with us. If you're a first-timer with us, we're glad you're here, and we just pray that the Lord will bless y'all for being here today is what I hope and pray. And we just want you to just join in with us, and let's worship the Lord today. That's what this service needs to be about, is worshiping the Lord today. At this time, we usually have a children's church is what we call it. We call all of our children up, and we just have a special time with them. Brother Sam takes care of that. So, kids, come on up.
I threw you a curveball, didn't I? Looking good. Looking good. All right. Everybody finished with Thanksgiving? Yeah? No more meals? No more meals. That make you sad or glad?
That means it's Christmas.
That means it's Christmas. I like it. Well, are you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
All right.
I got my Christmas tree.
You got your Christmas tree?
I got my Christmas tree.
Well, we need to get you a Christmas tree. Okay. I think this is, y'all got the talking bug over here. I like it. I like it. Make a joyful noise, right? Wow. I'm glad that we can have this little bit of time together. I won't keep you too long. I know this will take a couple hours, so go get you a snack and go to the bathroom if you need to. Here we go. Listen up. Put your listening ears on. Listen. The scripture says, real quick, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't be sad. Serve him with gladness. Right, Ben? Right. Come into his presence with singing. That's what we've been doing here. That's how we start out this service. Okay? I'm going to skip a couple verses because I like to get to this last one. This is one of my favorite ones in the Bible. One of them, probably top four or five. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good, y'all. Say it. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
That's right. He's good to all of us. And I tell you what he is. Some people think that he could be mean or something, you know, because they don't like what goes on. But here's another word you want to listen. The Lord is fair, okay? And listen, I like this next part. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy, you know. And I tell you what you can do. You can put the word salvation in there for mercy and say his salvation is everlasting. Okay, those of you that are saved, you know, your salvation just isn't good until the next time you sin. It's good through all of it because the Lord loves us, warts and all. He does. He loves us in spite of that. Here we go. We're on the home stretch here. Y'all pay attention. I like this. And his truth endureth to all generations. What is the Lord's truth? Say it. The Bible, his word. It's steadfast. It's unchanging. It won't move. People want to change it all the time. They want to change it to suit their needs. But no, people need to come around to God's way of thinking. All right, we're going to stand up and we're going to say this verse real loud.
The Bible is the greatest book in the world.
I like that. Preach it, sister. All right. Are you ready? Psalm 100. Verse 5. I'll take that. Okay, say it loud. For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
His mercy is everlasting.
His mercy is everlasting.
And his truth endureth.
And his truth
endureth. To all generations.
To all generations.
Give me a 5. Thank you. All right, right there. I love y'all. Y'all be good. Very good.
I'm thankful for every one of them little ones. Just appreciate them very much. It is good to be here this morning, and we will go into the rest of the service at this time. We want to go into the Lord with prayer. As always, we need to have the Lord's help in any service. So I ask that you be prayerful for us today in this service. We've still got a lot of sickness. Sister Nettie's husband, Bob, is back home, but he needs your prayers. I've talked with him a little bit about his soul. He's got a background that's different from ours, but we need to pray for him, is what I'll say. And continue to remember Sister Linda Nath, and also Sister Kendra. We need to remember her also in our prayers. And down here at the bottom of this, it says for the Spurgeon family, and I think probably 99% of you do know this already. You knew that we were expecting a grandson. And this past week we found out that his heart had stopped. And so remember the family in your prayers. And I don't mean that for you to feel so sorry for us in this way, but Christy does need your prayers. And just remember them. And just wanted everybody to know it also. Is what we wanted you to do. We wanted you to know about this. And most of you, there's a lot of you that's known about this trouble. And we need to remember our mothers in this time, because everyone that's talked to me has said it brought back memories. And so I want us to pray for all of our mothers, whether they've experienced this or not. I saw it this week where somebody said a parent is not supposed to outlive their children, and that's true. But sometimes it happens. Whether it's, they're not always infants, I'll say it that way. Sometimes they're teenagers, maybe a little younger. Sometimes they may be grown up. But the thing that we need to remember is the last prayer request that I'm going to give you, and I want everybody to remember this one. We still have lost souls in our midst. We've got people that needs to get saved, and we want to pray for them and pray hard for them today, because if death finds them, they don't have to be an infant. They don't have to be a person that's real evil. We need to be praying for them that they'll be saved above everything else. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning or at this time? Lord bless you, Sister Sandy. It's always good for us to praise the Lord. And it's always good for us to show love one for another. Somebody else have a prayer request or something on your heart this morning? As I said, please remember us today in your prayers as we try to stand for the Lord. Let's remember one another. Let's all pray that God will bless us in a great way today, is what I hope that we can do. So as we go to the Lord in prayer at this time, we ask that each and every one of you just pray from the heart. Don't just listen to the person next to you or the person that's praying. Just pray yourself from the heart. This time we'll call on Brother Steve, if he would, to start our prayer. Everybody pray, though.
Number 100, I thank my Savior for it all. Thank you. Number 112. Number 164. Number 164. This will be our last song this morning.
Thank you.
also say we're thankful for the little bit of rain that we are getting. Everything is still pretty dry as a general rule, and it's needful that we have rain from time to time. I remember hearing a story of a drought years ago, and they met at an old church, and they said that they gathered together to pray for rain. I guess we should have done that a couple weeks ago, shouldn't we? It's still not too late. But they said that they called on one man to pray. And he said, "Lord, you know the cattle need some rain so they can have some grass to eat. Lord, you know we need a little rain for the animals to have some water. If you could see just fit, just send us some rain." There's a good lesson in that little story right there about how we should pray. Not selfishly. Not to pray in such a way that we, it's about our needs, but about the cause of God. And it showed the power of God, because when that they went outside, they said over in the west there was a cloud. And there was an abundance of rain that came down. When people pray, great things happen. It's good to see each and every one here today, and we're glad that you're here. Anybody have a word on your heart this morning before we get started? I asked your prayers today. Been a kind of a difficult week in many ways, but we ask that you pray for us today that we might preach what God would have us to do. If this message goes the way I think it is, it's going to be a little different than I usually preach. Turn to the book of Job in the 33rd chapter is where we're going to start at today. The 33rd chapter of Job. You'll remember the story of Job, how that Job was tried by the devil. First of all, the devil took everything that he owned. How would you feel if everything you owned disappeared? I'm talking not only houses and land, but he lost his children too. Then after that, the devil struck his body with a sickness from sores from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. And all he could do was just sit down and truthfully just sit there. Then he had some friends that showed up and that came by, and they just sat down and they looked at him. I think it was for about 5 or 10 days that they did. I didn't go back and look at that. I don't have that in my head. But they just looked at him. And then finally one of them started talking, and they started basically telling him, "You've bound to have done something wrong that God's caused this to happen to you." Now, when that each one of them talked, then Job replied, and these things happened in this way. After that, the men had said everything that they could to Job to try to make him repent of his sin. Now, Job was a good and upright man. I do not believe that he was a perfect man by no means. I do not believe that. He was a man that was perfect in his worship of God, is what I mean, what I think it meant. No man is perfect. The only one that lived sinless and was perfect was Jesus himself. But Job, after that he had talked the last time, you really, if you go back and look at those chapters, Job had a lot of pride about what he did. He did. Sometimes we as church members, we have a lot of pride in the way that we serve God. I know Baptist people that the first thing out of their mouth when they stand up to testify is, "I thank the Lord I'm a Baptist." Hey, that's pride. I hear people stand up, and I went to a service one time that was of a different faith than us, And the first thing that came out of their mouth in their testimony, I thank the Lord that I wash feet. Now, washing feet is to show humility was what it was supposed to do, and that was pride. I thank the Lord that this is what I am, is what people tend to do. And basically, that's what Job did. He had a little bit of pride about him as far as him in his service to God, and I understand that. We do need a little bit of pride about us, that we want to serve God to the very best of our ability and do it with the goodness of God in mind. But Job had made a few statements that were a little bit alarming, and we may get into them here in a few minutes. But after Job had quit his talking, there was one young man that was there, and it was the first man that spoke, Elihu's son. He was tagging along, you might say. He was a young man. I kind of figure he was probably in his late teens, early 20s is what I'm guessing that he was. But he is probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible because he was bold in his actions on that day. He said, I believe that men of age should speak, those that have wisdom, they should give their wisdom. But he said, I have something to say. If you go down in chapter 32, he talks about how the Spirit was moving upon him in such a way that he was like a bottle of wine that did not have a vent. And he said, I'm ready to burst. We say it a lot different from that ourselves in these days. What we generally say is, my heart's about to beat out of my chest. I've heard many of you say that at different times. When God is dealing with you, you say, my heart's about to beat out of my chest. So this man, he had a power about him and a spirit about him that he needed to speak. And he wanted to speak on behalf of God, is what he did. There's times when we as God's children, we need to speak on behalf of God. We need to show people God through our speech, through our actions, through our lives. We need to show God to the world, is what we're to do. The Bible says we are the light of the world. And he says, if you hide it under a bushel, I've had this verse on my mind a lot lately. If you hide it under a bushel, how is the light going to get out? And we cannot allow our light to be dimmed by a church house or by the actions of the world or by anything, and especially by the fear of the world. We are to lift up the name of God is what we're supposed to do. Now, the actual title of my message can be found in verse 12 of the 33rd chapter. And he says here, behold, in this thou art not just. Now, I will answer thee. This is Elihu speaking unto Job and to the other men and speaking for God. He said, that God is greater than man. That's a pretty good statement to start out with. That is a good statement for us to remember today, that God is greater than man. We as human beings, we have an idea many times that we are pretty smart. Brother Stewart started off our lesson today about wisdom, and he asked the question, what is wisdom? And when you think about this name, the word wisdom, it is a hard definition. He also made the statement that wisdom, there is a earthly wisdom, but there is a spiritual wisdom also. And those two things, they are they work together, but they're different is what they are. And as we look at this, the beginning is what King Solomon said in Proverbs was, the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of God. Think about that now for just a moment. That's the beginning of wisdom now. But the idea today is God is greater than we are. There is a great big movement now in the United States, and I guess it's worldwide, of a worry about AI coming on. The intelligence that has been created by men, and they think that it's going to surpass human being knowledge. One of the things that we have come to understand is a computer has all kinds of knowledge and wisdom of, all kinds of knowledge about it, but it cannot be any greater than its creator because that's the source of its knowledge. I tend to believe the very same thing about AI. It cannot grow greater than its creator. In our case today, we are a creature that has been created by God Almighty. I realize today our children are being taught it in school that you evolved out of a monkey. I still say that those people that are trying to prove that man came from a monkey are making monkeys of themselves. I do. I believe that today. They create monkeys out of people so that they can feel wiser and smarter than God Almighty. They like to have the idea that they are greater than God Himself. They want to think of themselves in a great big point of view so that they are greater than God Himself. That's why that they are trying to tear down God in our world today. They want to be greater than God is. But listen to our verse again. As it say, as Elihu said, God is greater than man. Listen to what he says here over the next few verses. Why dost thou strive against him, against God? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. God doesn't have to explain his ways to us, but for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. I want you to think about the different times that you heard God speak to your heart. Maybe it wasn't in an audible voice, but he gave you a warning at times. Sometimes he gave you just a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of knowledge about things. And yes, maybe the first time you did not perceive how God was speaking to you. You didn't understand what he was doing. But as he continued to speak to you, you started to get understanding. He said, even in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men in slumbering on the bed, then he opened the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. You see, as God is speaking to individuals, mainly I'm going to say from the Old Testament times, what he was referring to was the prophets and the men of God that by the inspiration of God, they gave you this word that you might have an understanding of who God is. Now listen, he says that he may withdraw a man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing from the sword. As you look at these verses here today, the ending verse is the one that I want you to get a hold of in your mind. All of these instructions are given to you for this purpose, that he would keep, he keepeth back his soul from the pit. Now, that pit, many would say, is the grave. But no, it's not the grave itself. What it is the pit of destruction, which is hell itself. The intention of God is to keep every man, woman, and child from going to the devil's hell that is there. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And God's intention was that no one would go there but the devil and his demons. That was it. He never intended for any of the human beings of the world to go there. But by their choice, they have chosen to follow Satan, to not believe God, and because of that, they are going into hell day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, and even second after second. People are going into that devil's hell because they have not recognized that God is greater than they are. This is a huge problem in our world today. Now, as we continue to look at this, I want us to drop down to verse 24 today in this lesson. And I want you to notice the very first statement here. Then he is gracious unto him. Meaning, then he, God, is gracious unto man. What does it mean to be gracious? We studied grace in our Bible study not too long ago. I wish I'd have went back and looked at this word at that time, because it's a little different meaning than what we generally think as far as grace is concerned in the Hebrew language. In the word grace in the Hebrew language, it means to have favor. Here, it also means favor too, but it's a little bit more like it is in what we'll say Ephesians 2 and 8, when he says, for by grace, the unmerited favor of God. Listen, he says, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver from him from going down to the pit. There's that pit again. There's one way to be delivered from the pit. You see, the penalty of sin, according to the Word of God, is death. And because the penalty of sin is death, that death is an eternal separation of an individual from God. Death is a separation. If you look it up, that's what you'll find it is. It is a separation. And because it is a separation from God, and in this case, it is an eternal separation, my friends today, God did not intend for any sinner to go to a devil's hell. He did not. Remember that. Remember that today. What he intended was that his unmerited favor might come upon you. His unmerited. Unmerited means you didn't deserve it. You were not worthy of it. You didn't do anything that you could say, God, this is what I've done. This is why you should save me. God, in Elihu's word, said, God is gracious unto man that he would deliver them out of the pit. And what he says to finish up this verse, for I have found a ransom. Now, ransom, we know it today. If somebody kidnaps somebody and they say, you've got to give me a certain amount of money, we'll say $1 million, they'd be out of luck from me. But the fact of the matter is, if they wanted $1 million for me to give back, give to them for my wife, I didn't have it. I wouldn't have it. I'd try my best to get it. I would. I'd go to the bank and I'd talk to Mr. Burgle at the bank. I'd go and I'd talk to everybody I knew just to try to bring up that amount of money. But there is a payment to be paid for sin. And that payment for sin is death. So there had to be a ransom to be paid for your soul. And that ransom is this: that somebody else die for you. The penalty is this: someone, you've got to die. If somebody's going to die in your place, they had to die. God said, I have found a ransom. Elihu knew that even in the days of Job, I have found a ransom, speaking by God. I have found a ransom for you today, is what he says. Now then, he said, his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Now, the first thing you think about is your physical body is being made new. When Nicodemus went to Jesus there in the secret of the night, what he said when Jesus said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, can I enter again into my mother's womb? Can I be born again of her when I am old? He said, Nicodemus, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. You must be born of the water and of the spirit. And what he meant by that water was a physical birth. And that which is a spiritual birth. He said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. And what he meant by being born again is born from above. Born of God. And I'm going to tell you today, what God does to a soul when he saves that soul is he makes it completely new. The way Ezekiel put it, I believe it was, the way he put it was this. He said he would take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. The stony heart referring to a heart that was dead, that was not alive, that was cold, that had no feeling, had nothing about it that was alive. But the heart of flesh was one that had feeling. It was alive. It was new in the eyes of God. And when he said here, then shall he be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. When I was born into the family of God, the way that I described it at the moment that I got saved was, I felt fresh. Not everybody does. But that was the way I described it. I felt fresh. I felt new. I felt crisp like a young one that was there. Listen to him just a moment more. As he says, he shall pray unto God and he will be favorable unto him. He shall see his face with joy and he will render unto man his righteousness. This is the way that God saves. When that he takes the ransom, Jesus' life, for your life, and he, when you believe in him with everything that you have, and you trust him with all of your might, we have no good about us, do we? I was a sinner. Just as sinful as the worst individual has ever been. But there was a man who died for me that had perfect righteousness. He had never committed a sin in this world. And because that he had lived so perfect, and because that he had done so good, God said, when you trust me, I'll give you grace. Because I found a ransom. And I'll put his righteousness in you. That's salvation right there. That's the salvation that is there. Now let me get one more part here. Let's jump over to chapter 34. We're still quoting Elihu, because it's needful that we go this route. Verse 10 says, therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far it be from God that he should do wickedness. Can God do wickedness? No, he can't. God is good all the time. But God is just. Listen to what he says. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness. He said, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity, sin. He said, for the work of man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Pardon me for using this little story for here to close of this message. Back years ago, a girl that I went to school with, and she attended Mount Tabor somewhat regularly, and I think she was probably on the altar seeking the Lord when I got saved. It was probably another 5-6 years after that she finally found the Lord on her bed in a hospital. But I remember that one of her nieces had a dream. And in that dream, she said, the Lord was coming back. And she said, we was all together, and the Lord was calling us all home. And there was Tricia that was standing off to the side, because she knew Tricia hadn't been saved. She said, I saw Tricia standing off to the side, and the Lord gave her another chance. In the eyes of a child, that's the way justice would be, wouldn't it? But the justice of God is this. If ye believe not that I am he, is what he told the people that day. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall all likewise perish. That's why it's important now that you believe before it's too late. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And it's not just a judgment for the saved and the lost. I want us to keep that in our minds. Many times we as church members, as saved individuals, oh, I'm saved, it's okay, I can be all right, it don't matter what I do. Yes, it does. It does matter what you do. You've been saved, live for God. If you've been saved, tell somebody what God did for you. Is he not greater? He is greater. God is greater than all of us today. And we are to lift him up, because he's greater than I am. He's greater than you are. He's greater than these United States. He's greater than the president or the king of whoever nation there is out there. God is greater than all of them today. And you must believe that he is. That he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek him. That's what he said. Those that will diligently means put forth an effort. Reach out to him. Crawl to him if you have to. Beg him if you have to. Whatever the Lord puts upon you that you've got to get to God, you do it. You remember a while ago when I said, if somebody kidnapped Paul, I didn't have $1 million to get him, but I'd do everything I could to find enough money to pay that ransom. That's what God's looking at out of you today. He's looking for you to do whatever it takes to pay that ransom. To look to him with every bit of your might, with every bit of your body, and with every bit of your strength. I thank you for your attention today. Brother Keith, that's our message today. If you saw the way this message started out, I had seven more points. I had to count. Oh, by the way, let me give you one more, and then Brother Keith, I'll turn it over to you. When Elihu stopped speaking, and I invite you to go over and read everything that Elihu said from chapter 33 all the way over to the end of chapter 37. And when he had finished what he had said, he said, Men do therefore fear him, God. He that respecteth not any that are wise of heart. Then chapter 38, I want you to get this next verse. Then the Lord answered Job. Look for an answer from God. Today's a good day to seek the Lord. Today is a good day to find God. You need to seek him out. Look for him diligently. Please do. While we stand and sing.
Number 275.